Welcome to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough with me, your radio talk show host, Dr. Beverly L. Swanson. A talk show of real people with real stories, real testimonies that will inspire you and me to moving forward into our breakthrough. So glad to have you today. Now we're going to move forward to inspiration, empowerment, and breakthrough with Dr. Beverly L. Swanson. Inspiration, empowerment, and breakthrough. And I am Dr. Beverly, and I'm very excited about the broadcast today. As you know, we're going to be talking about unforgiveness. Now, unforgiveness is extremely important, and we have quite the show for you today. Did you know that unforgiveness is a spirit? Now, this spirit can and will destroy everything you are hoping and longing for in your life. It is a very powerful spirit and emotion. It is so powerful, ladies and gentlemen, that it can inhibit your healing, stop family unification, impede miracles and breakthroughs, and even keep you from heaven itself. Now, in the studio with me today, I'm sure you've become familiar with them now, is my special guest, Apostle John Lucas Jr. of Glory Land Revival International Ministry. Now, a week and a half ago, we were talking about that miracles are still prevalent and alive today. And we were talking about all the miracles that he experiences in the Philippines. Now he's back, and we're going to be talking intensely about unforgiveness, what causes it, but more importantly, how to identify it and how to release it in your life. So we're going to get started right now. So without further ado, John, Apostle, are you on the air?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well. Let's get started.
Oh, good. Amen. First of all, I'd like to say thank you for allowing me to be on the program again. Really appreciate and love you, and thank God for this opportunity.
Thank you, John. We appreciate that. It's something that must be addressed, especially in the year of the Great Jubilee, the acceptable year of the Lord. We don't want anyone to miss out on the promises that God has for us. I'm going to ask you, though, if you can, to increase your volume a little bit. I'd like you to come in a little clearer than you are. And then we're going to start with you.
Okay. Well, I thank God for this opportunity. And unforgiveness is a really subject that it would take months and months to exhaust. But we want to try to do the best we can today with what we have. And so I just thank God for this subject, because this is a major one. And the body of Christ, as we was a week and a half ago, we was talking about miracles. And this is one thing that will hinder you from receiving a miracle or healing. And just like Doctor said, it will hinder you from having relationships in your family and even going to heaven. And I thought about, as you were saying that, I thought about sometimes people haven't forgiven themselves. And that's a major thing right there, too, is, a lot of people are walking around, sin conscious instead of being God conscious. So I won't deal with that as much as I want to. Unforgiveness is talking about holding grudges. You know, the Bible says when you stand praying, forgive. And so we have many scriptures in the Bible that speaks about forgiveness. I want to read a couple. Because I believe it's pertinent right here. Matthew 18, 21 through 22 said, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee unto seven times, but until 70 times seven. And that is very deep. You know, I mean, this is per day also. You know, in other words, you if someone sins against you 300 and some time, 300, I think it's 390 times, then you got some serious issues or you hang around the wrong people. But the main thing is that, in other words, God is saying in this scripture to forgive every time somebody sins against you, forgive them. You know, and I mean, it went way beyond the scope of being abused or being hurt. And so then Matthew 6, 12 through 15, and said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And I think this is where it comes where, you know, and I've talked to people about this, and I would say that people, if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. In other words, you're yet in your sins, you know, because this is very powerful. This is very powerful. I mean, because he says in Colossians 3:13, says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And so, in other words, God is saying to us that we must forgive. It's pertinent. It's mandatory. It's not a request, but it's a command to forgive. And then the thing that I was looking at the other night this must come from your heart. And one of the things that I was looking at earlier is that you cannot do this yourself. It has to be a work of the Holy Spirit to help you, because the Bible says it's not by might, it's nor by power, but it's by His Spirit, says the Lord. And so we must allow the Holy Spirit. And one of the things I just want to throw in here, I was thinking about it before the program, about repentance, because it needs to be repentance in this process, because if you have unforgiveness, you need to repent. But the Hebrew, you know, everybody says that repentance is turning and going in the other direction or changing your mind. But in the Hebrew rendering, it literally means to understand that God is right and I'm wrong.
Yeah, John, I'm going to interject.
Okay. That's why I paused.
I know. You can feel it. I'm feeling in the spirit here that there's some tenseness arising on the air with some callers. And I want to say this. I know you've heard scriptures before on unforgiveness, but it's important that we reveal those scriptures so that you understand that this is biblically based. It is so important that there are many scriptures governing this.
Yes.
We know it's easy. We have all in our lives experienced pain through someone else. So we know it's not easy. We know that many on the line have experienced things that many could not even comprehend in their natural mind. Mm-hmm. But going through your life with unforgiveness and resentment, I'll just say this. Resentments that are held onto become lodged deeply in the heart. And because of unforgiveness, once it's trapped in the heart, it requires literally a work of God's grace to remove the offense, the
Absolutely.
Hurt, bitterness that has come as a result.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, my dear friend, literally, the single most
popular poison the enemy uses against God's people is unforgiveness. Yes, it's the deadliest poison a person can take spiritually. So this is why I want to address it so deeply. This is why we have to address it so deeply. This is why we want to make sure that you have the scriptures, because before this broadcast is over, we are believing and commanding a deliverance so that you can move forward to the breakthrough of the promises of God for your life and your family this year. Yes, John?
Yes, and you know, and I was going to be speaking about it, because one of the things that the Proverbs says that guard your heart with all diligence, because out of the heart comes the issues of life. And so whatever the issues are in one's life, it's predicated of what's going on in your heart. And just like you said, if it's trapped in your heart, because I was praying last night, I was up late last night, just beginning to look at this thing. In other words, he says that, because this is not about condemning. And I know, you know, that this stuff hurts. I know I've been through stuff, you know what I mean? I've been through hurt and people are misusing me and even abused and stuff. But yet I had to learn to forgive them even though it hurt. And one, a lady came, I don't know if you know, her name is Deborah Gleeby, doctor. She came from Washington State one time and she prayed a prayer, and the prayer was, is that even though it's true, I choose that they did this to me, that they molested me, they hurt me, they wounded me, they abused me, even though it be true, I choose to forgive them. And see, because I went to a prayer meeting today, a Bible study today, a Filipino prayer meeting, Bible study, and one of the things that I've quoted was this. Bible says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. And what it is that because this thing hurts so bad, I don't have the knowledge to let it go or to realize that I need to forgive. And this is what the bottom line is, because actually what happens in unforgiveness, you are imprisoned by this thing. You are actually in prison. And I noticed that one thing that goes on is that I had a young lady who came to our church that her father had molested her mostly all her young life. And so when she came to me, she had a lot of issues and she needed deliverance basically because she had this serious thing about she had not forgiven her father. And so one day I told her, I said, you need to call your father and forgive him, because sometimes the person that hurt you might not be living, but yet you still have to speak this thing out of your mouth. Remember, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believes, but with the mouth confession comes out. And so you have to think it. You have to say it out of your mouth. And so this young lady, she called her, I think she finally submitted to the instructions, and she called her father, and she said, Dad, I forgive you. And that very day, he was trying to call her to ask her to forgive him for what he had done. And they cried on the phone, and they were both to heal because of this thing. I had example after example after example, and I pray even now that God will touch your heart, whatever part of the heart that's been hurt the most, or whatever it is hanging on to you today, because, I sense that resistance too, because once you try to bring this stuff up and you start remembering how you've been hurt and what was done to you, the person that hurt you is going about their life as though nothing has ever happened, but yet you are in prison. And so, and it restricts, like I was reading something the other day, and it said that if someone that hurt you come into a room, if you out shopping if you are out shopping and they come into the store or something, it totally destroys your whole day. You came in there with peace and with joy, trying to get something for a loved one of yourself, but all of a sudden now it destroys the joy that you had. The Bible says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I was reading something last night that it might shock some of people, that unforgiveness in the medical field is called a disease.
That's right. And is defined
as some process that overwhelms the normal function to heal your body. Let me read that again, because unforgiveness in the medical field is called a disease, defined as some process that overwhelms normal functions in your body, because the body is meant to heal itself. I think I had shared with Dr. Beverly in the last program, is that, you know, when you, you know, you're trying to get a miracle, you know, you're looking for a miracle, and then this never happens because there's unforgiveness. And the natural body is meant to heal itself. So when you're going through something like that and you can't understand, because 62% of people in the hospital that are dealing with sickness have unforgiveness issues. This is a stat that's in the medical and field. 62%, and I believe it's higher, because I think we shared that last time on the program, is that 62% of the people who are sick are dealing with unforgiveness issues. And it seemed like something that's very subtle, because we think, and one of the things is, this don't seem really hard, but it's all, when you are dealing with hurt, it's all focused on you, what they did to me. And I'm I'm not one that like to play games with people's lives, because this is, you're talking about heaven or hell. You understand? And so when you don't forgive, you are in prison, all right? And so you are still in prison. You are in prison to the sickness. You're in prison to the disease. You're in prison to the person who hurt you, but yet they are going on about their life. Amen? And so it's very important to understand that. So we need to be free. And so what I did is I'm always studying about healing, because miracles, I just want to say something without that. I not only see miracles in the Philippines, but I see them here in the United States. And so I just want to bring up, it's a long list of symptoms of unforgiveness. And I just want to read some of them. I'm not going to read all of them, but it says, as number one is that when you think of that person, does your heart leap up with love and joy or joy for him? These are symptoms. If you don't, then you have unforgiveness. Do you desire to have fellowship with them, or do you try to avoid them? Do you have no blame or condemnation on them, of them, or for them? Do you say or feel in your heart, I forgive them, but I don't have to like them? This is carnal thinking. This is what God is dealing with me last week. This is carnal thinking of words that come out of our mouth. Because, see, some people say, well, I can forgive, but I can't forget. Because God, the ministry of grace that God has for us, he will cause you to forget it. Amen. As well as to forgive. And then some unforgiveness involve unresolved anger or resentment targeted towards a person because of an offense. Uh-huh. And so do you continue to feel the need to be separated from that person? You don't want to talk to that person or have them in your presence. That was an instance that happened to me when I was going to a doctor in West Sacramento for chiropractic. She told me that her father had arthritis really bad, with because he would not forgive her other sister. And she knew what it was because she's a doctor, a chiropractor, but she knew that's what it was. And so until that happens, there will be no healing. Amen. And you give them the silent treatment when you are in their presence. You are offended and begin to build up spiritual bars to shut them out. That's unforgiveness. All right? And then number two is that do you continue to make accusations against the person? Someone told me the other day that they was talking about me in a conversation. I won't mention the name, but they was talking about me, and the Holy Spirit said to the person, why are you gossiping about him? In other words, when you have unforgiveness, you could possibly be I want you to understand something. They didn't have unforgiveness against me, but it was just that they were gossiping. Amen. And so when a person has unforgiveness, they will always try to put the other person down. Amen. And I'm not saying that what was going on in the situation, because I think they thought they was trying to help. But then the problem is why am I talking about the person? You blame the person for the hurt and pain that you have. You fail to take responsibility for your own emotions. And we had our study lesson today in our Filipino Bible study was attitude. How is my attitude? And it was one of the questions was what are some of the things that trigger you to be have an attitude, a bad attitude? And that's a good question, isn't it? It's powerful. Amen. And the number three is that are you constantly involved in strife or bringing about division against that person? Four is do you have a lack of compassion for the person who offended you? And you know something I always said is that can I love someone even though I hurt them? The scripture says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so it's a very powerful unforgiveness. And so I need compassion towards everyone. Amen. Are you operating in ungodliness or loss of spirituality, a loss of discernment?
John,
yes.
I'm going to interject here for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know there was just a brief moment of technical difficulty. So for a brief moment, there was a blocking in the studio. You didn't hear the last 40 seconds of what the apostles were saying, but it's okay.
Oh, wow.
We'll have them read back. So
For
those that have just come on the air, because once the studio is now starting to fill up, we are talking about unforgiveness. The special guest, of course, today is Apostle John Lucas Jr. We were mentioning that we don't want you to think that we are undermining any pain that you've experienced on the line. We have all experienced tremendous pain, but we are wanting each and every one to understand that unforgiveness, that resentment, deep-seated and lodged in the heart, entraps you. The apostle said, it holds you in prison. But not only will it hold you in prison here in your natural life, it will hold you in prison for eternity because you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven with unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
We also made a very important point. The fact is that unforgiveness, dear ones, will cause a major block to receiving your deliverance, your healing, not only of your spirit, but your soul, but your physical body as well. The apostle made a very important point. He explained that the medical term for unforgiveness is disease, pointing out that cancer is a cause of unforgiveness. Mental depression, various health problems. Now, we're not saying that's the only cause, but you know, Dr. Beverly is bold in her statement. Cancer comes
from the devil. It does not come from God. So we want to make sure that you understand the poison, the power that unforgiveness has on us as people of God. Now, the apostle also shared quite a few symptoms of unforgiveness, but don't worry, if you didn't get them all, this broadcast is available immediately at the conclusion in the archive for you to listen again. And I am sure that he has many more to share with you. So he's glad he goes back and reiterates, Apostle, if you will, whatever you were speaking about the last 45 seconds, I would like you to repeat again now.
Okay, I'm not sure exactly where that was, but I'll try to do that, you know, real quickly again. But symptoms, this is something that will illuminate or bring to light, you know, the things that you are going through. And I want to reiterate this too: is that in fact we are trying to help everyone that are listening to this program to be free. Jesus said that whom the Son set free is free indeed. And that means you need to be free. You have a right to be free. You have a right to be whole. Matter of fact, amen. And so I just thank God for you listening to the program. You know, it indicates to me that you're looking for help. Amen. And even those who might be listening later on, you know, God has someone for us. And so I want to go back to some of the symptoms that says that symptoms of unforgiveness involve unresolved anger, resentment targeted towards a person because of an offense. Amen? And so the number one symptom because of that is, do you continue to feel the need to be separated from that person? Number two is that, do you continue to make accusation against the person? You know, that's an indication right there that you are hurt. And this is what I want to point out too, is that when people hurt me, I got so that the Lord showed me, he showed me this, is that because someone hurt people, we heard that. But it's one thing to know that, but it's one thing to not be let your attitude change because when someone hurt you. Instead, the Bible talks about in Galatians 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. One of what is it, love, joy, what, peace? And one of this fruit is what? It's self-control. And so how do I control myself? Amen. And so the number three is, are you constantly involved in strife or bring about division? Number four is, do you have a lack of compassion for the person who offended you? If they was having some issues, would you pray for them? Amen. Number five is, go ahead, Doc.
An example of, I believe it's the one that you mentioned, talking, are you still talking about it? I didn't realize, this is how cunning it is, and it, you know, and this is why we're covering this. You know, I was the middle child or the third child. And when I came on the scene, my two older sisters were not very nice to me, to say the least. And they wouldn't let me play with their toys. They used to, you know, tease me all the time because they said I was weird. And mom found you in a suey hole. She adopted you. You know, these things that were hurtful. I love my sisters. I didn't realize I was in unforgiveness until it was 5 years ago, and every time we were getting in gatherings or family gatherings or reunions, the only thing I would have to say is reminding them of how mean they were to me when I was growing up. And they never shared anything with me, didn't play with me, didn't like me. And I realized that, oh, my Lord, I'm not saying anything about how we are today. I'm not saying anything about how close we are as siblings and the things that we enjoy doing together. I'm still going back
All right.
To 5 and 6 and 7 years old, 10 years old, I was unforgiveness. And I mm-hmm. had to pant before the Lord, forgive me, Father. I didn't realize mm-hmm. it. And I had to thank the Holy Spirit for bringing that to my attention. This is how cunning it is. So I really want you to understand it's something that we all have experienced, but we must be delivered from that. Now, I said the word deliverance, and Apostle said the word deliverance. But sometimes deliverance, that word, because they hear it so much in church, can be a yeah. negative connotation to a person. So here we go with that deliverance thing again. It makes you feel bad, like there's something wrong with me. I want yeah. you to understand. Let me give you the biblical meaning of the word deliverance. It's
Thanks.
Simply kind of a rescue from bondage or danger.
That's powerful.
A rescue from mm-hmm. bondage or danger. Now, when you really understand the meaning of something, then you can embrace it. Now you see why you have to embrace deliverance. Because the bondage and prison of this poison robs you from everything that the Lord has for you, even through eternity, and the danger of never achieving the fullness of the greatness of grace that He has, not just for you, dear ones, but for your offspring, your children, and your grandchildren for generations to come.
Amen.
Please open your heart. Please open your heart and allow the mindset to change and embrace deliverance. Listen to these symptoms and which one of the symptoms apply so that we can work on releasing this
yeah,
bondage.
And then we're going to pray. We're going to also pray, Doc, after the end, when we get close to the end of the program, we're going to pray.
But you said
something about cancer a while ago, and you talked about your siblings. And I had a young lady from, I think, in Modesto or Turlock. She called me one day. She said, "I want you to pray for me. I just found out I had breast cancer." And cancer is a lack of the truth. You know, my spiritual mother shared that with me. I don't have time to elaborate on that, but cancer is a lack of the truth. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so she called me, and I said, and so I knew something about breast cancer through study from healing and stuff. And the right breast speaks of the natural family. The left breast speaks of the spiritual family, in-laws, you know, like that. And but the natural family is the mother, father, sisters, brothers. And what happened is that I told her that, and I said, "Has there been any trauma with you and your mother, father, sister, brother, anything like that?" And immediately she said, "There has been always a rivalry between her and her mother. Her mother never liked her." And so what happens is that when there's no forgiveness associated with that, breast cancer ensues. And I've done study after study after study, and this is truth. And I have dealt with this in the Philippines. I've dealt with it in Hong Kong. I've dealt with it here in the United States. And when I told the young lady about the need to be forgiveness and breaking and releasing her mother, not just forgiving but releasing them, she forgave her mother, and she went back to the doctor, and the cancer was gone. I'm talking about power.
Praise God. The power of unforgiveness.
But see, I had my sister went through the same thing, but she would not forgive her mother-in-law, and she passed. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about something far out You know, I'm talking about personal experiences. My sister passed away 3 years ago, right here in Sacramento, California. And it hurt, but she wouldn't let go. You know, and this is this travesty or the tragedy of it all, is that when people will not allow God to heal them and let them go and to rescue them. Amen. And so I want to go back to the symptoms, you know, and I have a few more, and it says, are you operating in ungodliness, a loss of spirituality, a loss of discernment and spiritual power? And you say, what does that got to do with unforgiveness? You have become ineffective in prayer. You have no effectual fervent prayer because you have no mercy on other people. Amen. You're blaming God. Why did God allow this to happen? You also blame others for the events in your life. And this is because of all unforgiveness, because the Bible says that when anger is in there, and then it turns into bitterness. Amen. And the Bible says in Hebrews says that, you know, the bitterness that stuff spring up in you and defile many. And so number six is, are you having feelings of discouragement, disappointment, dejection, or despair? And this is, these are symptoms of unforgiveness. 2 Corinthians 2:10-11 says, these scriptures teach us that Satan's schemes and plans involve outsmarting us by having us get into unforgiveness. Once we enter into the unforgiveness, we cannot have the forgiveness of God, as we have seen in other scriptures like we read earlier in Matthew. Amen. And so, and as you, Doctor reiterated the fact that in the medical field, unforgiveness is called a disease. It's called a disease, just like cancer. Just like, what does cancer do? It eats up things. It eats up your body. So does unforgiveness. It eats up your body. It eats up your joy. It eats up your hope. It eats up your peace. It eats up your long suffering, your temperance. Come on. It eats it all up because you cannot. I want to give some examples of unforgiveness, too. I was in the Philippines, and I think I've shared this with you before, but I was in the Philippines, and there was a Filipino, a grandmother, Lola, in Tagalog, Visayan. Grandma is Lola, and Grandpa is Lolo. And so Lola told me, she said, I'm having I got arthritis real bad in my knees, and it's almost crippling. And so I stood there and I prayed before I said anything to her. And I said, well, the Lord is showing me you have unforgiveness. She said, no, no. And this is all through an interpreter. And she said, no, I forgive everybody. And she was Catholic also. And then I said, well, I'm going to just stand here and pray a little bit. And then because she had already said she had forgiven everybody. But then I said, I want you to think about it. And then all of a sudden she said, oh, my son has taken money from me and he won't give it back. She had not forgiven him. I led her in a simple prayer. And so does she. And she meant it in her heart, because all of a sudden, now what took place there is that she came to the conclusion that I was wrong. Remember, I talked about repentance. You know, in the Hebrew rendering of repentance is seeing God was right and I was wrong. In other words, the Bible says if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive. That word confess means to admit. If I was an alcoholic at one time, and I tell them, I'm not an alcoholic, I can stop anytime I want to, give me another shot. You know, that was my attitude. You know, but I found out I couldn't stop. But then when I realized that I couldn't stop, the light came on, praise God, and I began to get help, and I was free. And that's been, I don't know how long ago. Can't remember how long it's been ago. But the thing is that I had to acknowledge that I was wrong. I had to acknowledge that, you know, that this thing hurts. And I'm telling you, I was in 99, my wife and I went to the Virgin Islands, and I was gone, and a lady that I left in my office was going around telling all my friends that I was sleeping with my secretary. I came back, and one of my pastor friends in Sacramento, she said, you need to go see the bishop. I said, what's going on? She said, this lady's going around telling everybody that you've been sleeping with your secretary, and that's why she left the church. But I forgot to tell the church, because my wife and I was getting ready to leave, I forgot to tell her that she had gone to Oregon to take care of a sister who had breast cancer. And so when I came back, I was hurt. It hurt. Did you hear what I said? It hurt. I was wounded.
Yes.
I was just totally, as a pastor, as an apostle, I was hurt. And that's, I'm just reaching out to you right now because I sense the people that are hurting. I mean, it hurt. And then I had to, I said some things out of my mouth that I had to repent for later. You know, I went over to the lady's house. I knew who it was. She denied she did it. And I said out of my mouth some things. I won't repeat those things because they're under the blood now. But I had to repent from those things that I said. But then one day I was in a prayer meeting, and a white gentleman came and kissed me on my forehead, and it broke something in me. And I got on my face on the floor in a prayer meeting. Worship was going on. And the Lord said to me, now, he said, I'm going to do everything you say. Because, see, I was healed. I forgave. He broke that thing off of me, the unforgiveness. He broke it off me supernaturally, and I forgave her. And I could see her right now. I did see her a long time after that. And I hugged her, forgave her. I mean, I didn't even mention it because it was done. How can you literally be around a person who hurt you and yet love them? Christ is around us every day, and he knew who we were. I heard somebody talking the other day. They said he knew we was going to fail him, but yet he loved us. Oh, my God. Amen. I don't know how much time we got, Doc, but I do want to pray, but...
You're doing well. I'm keeping an eye out on that. We will definitely not close out without prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, the apostle shared quite a few symptoms of unforgiveness. I would like to share with you five reasons why a person won't forgive, find it difficult to forgive. Number one, they don't value the relationship. Forgive an offender because they stop valuing the relationship that they have with them. Number two, they're afraid to forgive for fear of being put in a position of weakness, powerlessness with another person. And they use unforgiveness as a shield to keep the distance between themselves and those who have hurt them. Number three, they won't forgive because pride keeps them from truly seeing themselves in God. They see the offender as unworthy of their forgiveness or love and not realizing that they themselves are no better than the offender in God's eyes as long as they hold that grudge. Number four, they can't forgive because they are focusing on the wrong image in their mind. And I think the apostle talked about that. Remember that Jesus, the example of Jesus and guarding themselves against the deception of the So they should be focusing on the Word of God and the example of Jesus. Number five, they won't forgive because they don't understand the damage it does to their heart.
Yes.
Unforgiveness always leads to bitterness, and bitterness always leads to a hardened heart, one that cannot love or trust anyone. Five reasons. So you want to take a look at these and see if you have fallen victim or prey to these reasons, because they need to be eradicated from your mind and your heart. There is never a reason that will validate unforgiveness because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. And he did nothing to deserve. And he cried out to the Father, saying, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And there is no greater pain that any of us can endure that is greater than the pain that Jesus endured on our behalf. And I want to tell you this. There have been, by the grace of God, he has used me for healing problems with heart, so many different things. It's no time to go through. But there is nothing more painful to me than going to see someone in the hospital that I know that the Lord has the power to heal. And you look at the individual, and they say they love the Lord, and they do. They're a Christian, and they love the Lord. But their healing is blocked. There's nothing I can do. And as a servant of God, by his grace, he used me for healing. And there's nothing I can do, because I ask them, are you harboring any forgiveness against anyone? Because it will block your healing. And they say yes, and they refuse to forgive. There is nothing more painful because they just completely lock the power of God's healing that they deserve as being a Christian, a lover of the Lord. And the four stripes that we are healed of any sickness, disease, and infirmity, and they just cut it off. There's nothing that I can do. We love you so much. We believe in the Word of God. Our Father does not want us plagued with diseases that are destroying the temple that houses his Spirit within you. So please, listen to what we're saying and release this bondage that has been plaguing your heart for so long, and embrace the heart of Jesus and accept what he has done on our behalf and live the life that God has promised. John, I'm going to give it back to you.
Okay. I just thank God for what you shared, because it's very important. And I thought about so many examples of people who are in church, and they're having trouble with sisters and brothers. I was just at a place visiting one of the pastor friends from Nigeria. And he said something to me. He said he has three sisters in Nigeria, and they go, all three go to different churches under different pastors, but they can't not get along at home. And I said, something is wrong. I said, something is wrong with that, you know. And so he asked me to pray, you know. Anybody know anything about people from Africa, they pray, you know, but they also receive prayer. And so we can have people going to church and yet hate their sisters and brothers. I'm talking about natural sister and brother. So how much more will that happen to those who are not natural or blood relatives, and somebody that they just know as in relationship? Because this thing hinders reconciliation. Unforgiveness hinders reconciliation. And the Bible says He has given us the ministry of reconciliation, but how can we do that when we are walking in unforgiveness? And I don't want to come off crass, but this is a serious matter. I have a prayer, and I'm not sure if we can. It wouldn't take long to pray it, but I want everybody to just if you are willing to do this, and you want to be free. This is a prayer that I found.
We're going to go a little longer than 60 minutes, so we'll have time for the prayer, because I think something that we need to address, and I'm feeling in my spirit that someone is saying, yeah, well, a lot of the hurt that I've experienced has been in the church. So you know what? We're going to have to.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know we need to deal with that. and so this is a major thing. And the thing that happens is that once we've been hurt in the church, we will either stop going. And I've noticed a pattern over the years is that when someone gets hurt in the church, they'll go to another church, and then they'll see something that looks just like what they went through, and it might not be, because there's a familiar spirit that travels with us when we walk in unforgiveness. There's a familiar spirit, and then we'll see something, or we think we heard something that sounds just like what we went, and then the next thing that happens, you're out of church. You just totally disassociate yourself from church. And something that I heard this man say the other day on the TV, he said that everybody hears about the 99 sheep and the one that was lost. He said it wasn't the important one was not the one that was lost. It was the 100. In other words, we need to be together. We need one another. And if you name me a family that there have not been problems in a family, you know, fighting and all this stuff. But, you know, Paul said this. He said, you know, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Amen. In other words, some things, you know, we have just got to walk in forgiveness, because Jesus said, God says He made us in His image and likeness, and He forgave us. This is what that scripture said in Luke. It says that, you know, as Christ, Colossians, it says that as Christ forgave us, so we should forgive one another. Amen. And so it's very important, especially when it comes to church, because the enemy wants to divide and he wants to conquer. I was sharing that today about how the enemy is dividing us, you know, by hurts. But then I had a Jewish friend of mine came and spoke. He had the church in my fellowship one night, and he said, I want to take you on a trip. I want to take you to the morgue. He said, let's go to the morgue. And he said, we're going to ask the dead man a question. Are you having any trouble with drugs? He said, no. He said, why? Because he's dead, right? Are you having any trouble with unforgiveness? No, because I'm dead. You know, Colossians 3 says that, you know, he said, we are dead. We have died. In other words, we are dead, but we're also risen with Christ. Amen. And so we said, because and then Paul says that it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ living in me. And the life that I live now is by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life, gave himself for me. And so, in other words, you know, offenses are going to come. You know, things are going to come. Scripture says, but woe be unto one to bring the offense. So the offender is always seems to be the one, especially in church, is the one who is going on about their life and says nothing has ever happened. But you are in prison, and you have switched churches. And the problem with that is because you didn't forgive. You didn't stay there and got it straight. I have had people come to my fellowship, and I would say things out of my mouth, and I didn't know why I was saying them. I said, if you left a ministry and you left for the wrong reason, you need to go back. You need. There was a lady I won't mention. I won't even mention the name of the church, but I was going to this barbershop one time. I know the Lord sent me in there to minister to this one young lady. And she was in a limousine with this well-known.
John, I cannot hear you. Apostle, we cannot hear you. While we're adjusting and finding out why we're not able to hear the apostle, I want to say this. We have to understand that what we experience and the pain and hurt that we experience, it cannot be rationalized. Unforgiveness is unforgiveness. It doesn't matter whether the hurt or pain is in the church house or in our families, or at our jobs, or even people that we don't know. We cannot rationalize a level of pain. Unforgiveness is just that. It's unforgiveness, and it must be eradicated. Now, the other thing is this. I want you to know, the more we forgive, the easier it is to forgive. So as you practice walking the walk and living a life of Christ or living the lifestyle, the word of God, it does get easier because of the peace that is within you. So remember that the more you forgive, it becomes easier to forgive. Apostle, are you on? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to put a little break music on so I can check in with the apostle and see what's going on with his mic. So enjoy the music for just a moment. Okay, we're back on the air. Apostle, can you hear us? You'll say something so that we can hear you on the air. Okay, unfortunately, we cannot hear him. But I want to go ahead, and there's something that he continuously mentioned, and he wanted to pray to make sure that we pray the prayer of deliverance for the unforgiveness for those that are experiencing the bondage right now so they may be set free. I know he wanted to do that, but most importantly, We do not want anyone to go without being prayed over. So I will do that. So, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, we come before you, Lord God, individually and collectively. And first of all, we repent of anything and all things that we may have done, O God, that has been not pleasing to you. Whether known to us or unknown to us, Father, we repent. I am believing, Lord God, that each and every one that is listening to this broadcast has a heart of love for you, and their desire is to please you and pleasure you, Lord God, in every situation and in every circumstance, and truly walk in your will and the purpose that you have set for each and every one of our lives. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that has revealed so much to us, that our eyes have been opened to see how we may have been in bondage of the past, known to us or unknown to us. And we praise Jesus that what he has done with his life, his death, his burial, and the resurrection, that has freed us from this bondage. And we have a right, Lord God, to release it now. For everything that he has done on the cross, Lord God, has freed us from that. And we refuse to embrace it and hold on to it anymore. So, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over each and every mind, Lord God, and over each and every heart on this line. And I decree and declare that we all have the mind of Christ, and I bind every mind to the mind of Christ, and every will to the will of the Most High God, every thought to that of Jesus Christ. And let the blood of Jesus, Lord God, cleanse every heart from the bondage, Lord God, of unforgiveness to the glory of God, and walk in the freedom of the righteousness that we have embraced because of the cross. We thank you for the grace of God and the mercy of God that endures forever. We cannot do this on our own. So, Father, we release it to you. We place it on the altar of Jesus, and we ask that you continue, Lord God, to cleanse our hearts on a daily basis to the glory of God, that we can walk in the fullness of the love that you have given us, Lord God, that you have blessed us with, and that you have graced us with. Father, we thank you for opening up our eyes and our minds and healing our hearts. And let us be a walking, living testimony to others, Lord God. Let us explain to others, Father, how to be able to do this. Lord, how to walk in the freedom, Lord God, of the love of Jesus Christ, of the love of the Father that you have bless us with, Lord God, and that you have for each and every one that you have created on this earth. For we belong to you. We do not belong to Satan. We denounce that bondage now in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I thank you that each and every one in hearing of this broadcast has been set free. They've been set free from whence they've been freed already by the blood of the Lamb. And they have released it from their mind and released it from their heart and embraced that they have the right to walk in the freedom of the resurrected Jesus Christ, that they are no longer in bondage, that they are walking in righteousness and holiness to the glory of the living Most High God. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for embracing this prayer. Listen to the broadcast again. Receive it in your heart. Receive this prayer in your heart right now to the glory of God. Go forth knowing that you have been set free. Your mind has been set free. Your heart has been set free. And I want to thank you for listening to this broadcast. I want to thank our guest, Apostle John Lucas Jr., for coming on the broadcast today and sharing all that he has shared and provided symptoms for you that you can go back and listen to see if any of them apply to you. I am hoping that you listen again to the five reasons that people find it difficult to forgive. And again, see if any of them apply to you. We love you. We love you, and we believe that you are now set free. I want to thank you again for listening to the broadcast of Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough. I do love you more. I hope that you tune in to us with us again next week, Wednesday. We'll be back to the 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock hour. I look forward to your feedback. You can email me at info@drbeverlylswanson.com. If you have any questions for the apostle, you can go ahead and send me the email, and I will forward it to him. If any of you are in need of a further, to be able to talk to him further about this, or if you'd like to find out more information about Glory Land Revival International Ministries, that he will be happy to provide that to you. And again, thank you all for joining us on Inspiration Talk and the Breakthrough. I'll see you next time.